Well, I think it's very important that we're here year after year. And for some of you who are here for the first time, we have been here at the Software Engineering Institute since 1984. The Software Engineering Institute was brought about by a contract given to them for $106 million back in 1984. Every 5 years, their contract is renewed, and here is almost countless and various nuclear as well as conventional weapon systems, and they do the software, the software engineering. And so we've been coming here year after year after year. The first year we came here, we poured hundreds and hundreds of pounds of ashes, saying that if they continue to do their work, they're going to turn us all into nuclear ash. Now, where did we get the ashes? Got the ashes from their cold fire power plant. And so when the police asked what we were doing, we just told them that we were returning the ashes that were rightfully theirs. So to get things started, to be a little animated today, if the Raging Grannies can come up here, they have a song for us today, and they'll be singing into this microphone.
We're going to do a song. Is this? Can you all hear me? Yes? No? Nobody can hear me? We're going to do a song that we did at the funeral march, so a lot of you may be familiar with it. And like the funeral march, we didn't have much of a sound system, so we're going to use the people's sound system once again. We'll start off the song, and you will spread it so that everybody will hear it, and you'll all be part of it and part of the sound system and the performance system. So we're going to go down there and start the song.
Well, whether snow or sunshine, the Raging Grannies have always come through, so thank you very much. There we go. Oh, my goodness. I was wondering if anybody else had anything to share about today. Today is Nagasaki Day, about Hiroshima or Nagasaki, or where we have found ourselves. Come on down.
Thank you. The present tragedy and challenge of Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and of the current nuclear arsenals and dangers is that they are invisible, that we do not remember. It is important that we remember and mourn Hiroshima and Nagasaki today, but we must also remember the present and the future. A central challenge of the peace community today is to make the invisible visible, and central to our advocacy and our struggles, to make nuclear arsenals and dangers visible to ourselves and to our fellow citizens. This is not the case in the country today. We must know what happened in 1945, and we must know about the huge arsenals and about the U.S. current plans for use. That in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, 200,000 people died from two bombs, while the world arsenals today contain 25,000 warheads with 200,000 Hiroshimas of destructive power. Crematoria for the world, sitting on missiles, ready to launch. But today, with the end of the Cold War, and with the U.S.'s sole military superpower status and preemptive policies, we have opportunities to expose the invisible and to increase awareness as never before. Everyone knows and is concerned about terrorism. Nuclear weapons are unarguably the ultimate instruments of terrorism, whether used by individuals or by the United States. Everyone knows and worries about weapons of mass destruction. Nuclear weapons are the only real weapons of mass destruction, not bio or chemical weapons, which have been inflated and elevated as weapons of mass destruction to delude and divert the people. U.S. policy is allegedly directed against spread of nuclear weapons, but we are the largest possessor of nuclear weapons, the greatest danger, and the most powerful cause of nuclear proliferation. Our policy and public posture on nuclear weapons is demonstrably hypocritical and duplicitous. Do what we say, not what we do. No nuclear weapons have been found in Iraq, but we have found these weapons in U.S. arsenals and plans for new weapons use and policies for use. The U.S. administration just celebrated Hiroshima Day by a secret conference in Omaha, the center of nuclear weapons in the United States, to develop new nuclear weapons and to resume nuclear test explosions. Clearly, there is no security in building new nuclear weapons. True American and world security lies in dismantling the world's nuclear arsenals, not building new ones. We must compel our government and the Pentagon to abandon its dance with death for ourselves, for the world, and for our children. So today, let us remember the past and the future and act on our remembrance. Anita will have a reading to inspire our remembrance, and then we can go on.
This is a litany of remembrance written by a Pamela Mizell, an activist in the nuclear abolition movement. This is the 58th year of the nuclear age. It's time to remember, to bring those remembrances into the present, and to imagine our future together. Let us remember each child born since the dawn of this nuclear age, the miracle and sacredness of each living being. Let us remember the image of the first mushroom cloud of the Trinity atomic test rising above the earth in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Let us remember the words Robert Oppenheimer, director of the Manhattan Project, quoted that day. I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. Let us remember Little Boy and Fat Man, the bombs that destroyed the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6th and 9th, 1945. 58 years later, let us remember the terrible destructive power and violence latent within us and made manifest in the bomb. Let us meet this power of destruction by drawing on the rich sources of our human traditions and the deep wells of faith, beauty, humor, and creativity of the human spirit to nurture the growth of a culture of nonviolence, health, and peace. Let us remember the visionaries who have come before us, calling to our deepest and highest selves, and we give thanks for their witness and commitment to life. Let us remember the cost to all life of our commitment to death. Let us remember the indigenous peoples and their land where we mined uranium, tested nuclear weapons, and left radioactive waste. Let us remember the downwinders, the atomic veterans, and all radiation victims, knowing that in a global community, we are all downwinders. Let us remember the deserts of New Mexico, Nevada, Lop Nor, Maralinga, Woomera, Algeria, Rajasthan, and Kazakhstan, where the atomic violence creates deserts in our hearts and souls. Let us remember the islands of Bikini, Christmas, Eniwetok, Fangataufa, Johnstown, Montebello, Moroa, and Novaya Zemlya, where the atomic destruction makes us islands of ourselves. Let us remember the plants and animals of the earth, whose waters, soil, and air we contaminate in the name of security. Let us remember our children and grandchildren and all beings of the future whose toxic radioactive inheritance we cannot keep from them. Let us remember our nuclear history so that we will not repeat it.
Hello. I am a child of a World War II veteran. I am also the niece of several World War II veterans. I've remembered my uncles telling me about fighting over there. They fought after the bomb was dropped. But yet, they have also suffered. For I had an uncle that suffered from the nuclear fallout that was over there. I am, in a way, a child of peace. I don't want to see no more bombs dropped, for more bombs dropped means more money taken away from the people who need it, such as the elderly, the disabled, the handicapped, and those who work to get on a bus. So, please, as in all, let us remember that each bomb dropped means more money stolen from those who need it. Thank you.
I would like to say two things. I don't think his mic is helping at all. One is, Hiroshima, the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, as you know, on August 6th, 1945. But on August 9th, this exact anniversary, a nuclear weapon was dropped on Nagasaki. And that's, in some ways, an even worse day. The apologists for nuclear war claim that the bomb dropped on Hiroshima saved lives because it ended, scared Japan into suing for peace and ended World War II. But they never say what could possibly justify dropping the bomb on Nagasaki 3 days afterwards, except to scare the Russians. So I'd like to add that I am now a pacifist. I've been a peacenik all my adult life, 40-some years. But I wasn't a pacifist, because I wasn't against all wars, just wars of imperialist stupidity. So I served in the National Guard during Vietnam, just like George Bush and Dan Quayle. But I became a pacifist on a very specific date, November 11th. Of 2002. That was the day I realized that all war is so fundamentally stupid that I will not be involved in one. I will become a pacifist. November 11th, as you may recall, is what is now called Veterans Day. It used to be called Armistice Day, because November 11th was the day of the treaty that ended what was called the war to make the world safe for democracy. We know now that was a lie. And it was also called the treaty to end the war to end wars. And Gene Debs said, it isn't the war to end wars. There'll be another one along pretty soon. And they put him in jail for saying that, but you know he was right. I want to say one other thing. This administration is far more consistent in its devotion to war, in its devotion to repression, in its devotion to widening the gap between the rich and the poor. This administration, and I have to be blunt and use the F word, Bush is a fascist. And we have to start now to stop fascism. One of the things we can do, carry voter forms with you everywhere you go. I have a few extra with me, if you don't have any handy. In the past, poor people, African Americans, lesbians and gays, and especially young people, most of them didn't vote. The next election is not between the Democrats and the Republicans. It's between us and the fascists. My Uncle Jesse, when Hitler and Mussolini attacked Spain, didn't go into a brown study whether the Republic had the best possible leadership or whether there was how much difference there was between the Falange and the Republic. He joined the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and went to Spain. I'm going to win this one for Uncle Jesse. I'd rather use, thank goodness, we can still use ballots. We better use them well. If I have some cards here, it's your country, take it back. I'll be happy to share them. We have to start now to stop fascism.
Okay, now a lot of people think that this microphone is amplifying. But it's not amplifying, it's recording. So if any of you are trust fund babies and want to contribute, we'll get a little portable karaoke machine and we'll have that next time. I think the connection needs to be made, and this is just not making the connection because we've been saying for far too long that we need to be making the connections. But we are right in the midst of a meltdown here in the city of Pittsburgh. It's affecting every aspect of people's lives. And, of course, it's not affecting people's lives who have money. And so a lot of people are unemployed, swimming pools being shut down. It's almost unbelievable. The lack of any type of analysis, there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of things saying, like, where has the money gone? And what we really need to do is dig deep and find out what is going on and why the austerity program that we've been experiencing for almost 20 years has finally come to fruition here in the city of Pittsburgh. So the flip side of war is military waste. And obviously federal money to the tune of $20 million a month in Afghanistan right now. And Million. I sound like that guy in that movie. Millions and millions. Okay. $40 billion is being spent a month in Iraq. $40 billion plus. And in Afghanistan, $20 billion a month. And, of course, now we have gone into another country, and it is obviously not going to stop. So this afternoon, Steve is going to give us a few words about what's going on in the city that used to make steel.
I think you just said it, Vincent. For the sake of the tape, parks, pools, senior citizen centers, our police department, EMS, libraries, public transit, all robbed by the Pentagon. And I don't know if you think this is an overstatement, but General Eisenhower didn't. I think he said something about it. I've been, ever since they announced the cuts the other day, that famous speech he gave about how every penny spent making especially nuclear weapons is a theft. Well, if Eisenhower said it, then it must be true. Everybody loved Ike. We like Ike. Anyhow, I'm furious. And it occurred to me when we were doing that little song about peace. You know, we always come out here and we say we want peace. The fact of the matter is, there's not only a war going on in Iraq, in Afghanistan, Colombia, all over the world. There's a war going on right here, too, a war against the poor. If you look at what came down at the city this week, most everything that was cut will affect the poor. Who uses the swimming pools? If you have a pool in your backyard, they can close the pools. So what? When they close the senior citizen centers, the rec centers for the kids, where a lot of them went to get the one meal they eat during the summertime, which is served at lunch at these youth centers, it's all closed yesterday. It's all closed as of yesterday. Done. That's it. Gone. We've known this is coming for a long time. We've been seeing it. We've seen the writing on the wall. And I'll be honest with you, I get a little bit irritated when after it happens, suddenly everyone's saying, what are we going to do about it? Fact is, a lot of us have been doing something about it all along. We were doing something about it on January 15, when we were right here in the snow. We were doing something about it on March 20, when we screwed up the downtown rush hour. And I think it's getting to the point where we're going to start doing that kind of stuff again. Because it's obvious that the people who make the laws, the people making the policies, the people who fund this building right here, the people who pay for our tax dollars, are not getting the message. They're not getting the message. And I've been puzzling and puzzling about what do we got to do to get them to get the message. We got to show them that we have power. And I think we got to do more than just register people to vote. People have been voting in this country for 200 years. It hasn't gotten the poor too much. We got to do more than vote. I've always said what goes on between elections is much more important than what goes on during the elections. We need to show these people that we're building power. Just what that looks like, it's up to us to determine and use our imaginations to build that power. The power comes in numbers. They need to see us. They need to see that we're angry. They need to see that we're going to start doing something. You know, I've been wearing this thing since last winter. And it's, I don't know if any of you ever heard of Dorothy Day. Dorothy Day used to say, our problems begin with our acceptance of this filthy, rotten system. So I paraphrased it here. Now, this filthy, rotten empire is killing us. It's starving people all over the world. It's starving people in this country. It's robbing us of our everything that we need to live. Our public parks, our public transit, anything that has that word public in front of it, it's destroying the U.S. empire. It's not in the interest of the people who run the empire to keep these things for us. We got to show them we want them back. And we got to show that we're not going to accept this. We got to reject with every ounce of our fiber and all of our ability this empire. Reject what it stands for. Reject those who lead it. Totally reject it. I struggle all the time with how I can maintain actually citizenship in this country. I don't want to burn a flag, but I thought about burning my Social Security card for what it's worth. And I thought about burning my voter ID for what it's worth. But for now, I'll hold on to them. I want my $200 a month when I turn 60. Oh, no, but excuse me, it would probably be 75 by the time I'm able to get anything. I think we got a lot of opportunities coming up in the coming months to show the people in charge that we're sick and tired of the structural adjustments which are being forced on us. There'll be an anti-war picnic, rally, and march on the 24th of August. That's the day after Penn Avenue Rocks Against Racism. That's another venue for talking to people. On the 20th and 21st, the city will inaugurate our new convention center, which we paid for, which is a symbol of the greed, which is destroying our city. A lot of us are going to be at that. I don't know what we're going to do yet, but we're going to be there. So we have lots of opportunities in the coming months to continue to stand up to this empire, to say, cut the defense budget in half. Let's start with that. And then 10% a year after that. It's a dream, but it's a starting point anyhow. Thanks.